And what's up, Pewter peeps? Welcome in to the all-new PewterCast, your favorite episode of Bucks news analysis, hot takes, and otherwise as part of the Fansided Network. If you're watching us on YouTube, thank you so much for being here with us live. If you're listening to the podcast,
all
we appreciate it. That, of course, is Ren Dax. I am Steve Carney. It's great to be here with you again here this week. And Ren, how was your week?
Week's good. Week's been good, man. It's, just kind of getting in the groove of the new job. So clicking away and it's like you got to get a new groove, man. You got to find your new, I'm finally realizing what time I have to leave the house to be able mm-hmm. to not be 2 minutes late, but not be 15 minutes early. What time to get up in the morning to be able to get there, somewhere between 10 and 10 minutes, get there about 10 minutes before I'm supposed to be there, all that type of stuff. So, yep, just falling into the routine. It's like being in jail. Just get your routine, and click away.
It's like being in jail, or it's like being at training camp. It's like being at a practice facility for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's funny that you mentioned that because you've done this for a while and what you do for a living for a while, but it's in a new place. It's a new year. It's a new job. It's mm-hmm. everything is, it's familiar, but it's different. And it's just like the 2021 Buccaneers. And it's funny that you mentioned that because that's almost exactly what Tom Brady said the other day. You and Tom Brady are more alike than you would ever imagine.
Sure.
Because he feels the same way about the 2021 Buccaneers as you do about your new job. It's a new season. It's a new team. It's a new group of goals moving forward. Mm-hmm. And he's has to be aware of the process starts anew.
Yeah.
Just like in your job. It's all starts anew here with minicamp that has begun. And we've got 3 days of minicamp in the books. And now it's time for the guys to get some rest and relaxation.
Right. The true off season begins.
Yep.
No free agency, no draft, no nothing.
Yep. This is it.
This is downtime. Man, this is downtime. So what have you been doing? How was your week?
My week was all right. I spent most of it at Tropicana Field. Mm-hmm. The Rays are at home this
boat
week.
Expo?
Yeah. Yeah, we had the boat show. Yeah.
We get boat show. Have the Rays lost?
Yeah. Yeah. They lost on Wednesday night in 11 innings to Washington. They split that two-game series at home. It was weird because the Rays were on the road and then they had Monday off. You play two games, then you have Thursday off, and mm-hmm. then you start back up on Friday. But this is the easy part of their schedule because this is where they go up against some of the teams that are not very good. Washington, Baltimore, and the like. And so this is where you want to be able to make your hay, and they're already in first place. So you want to try and grow that lead beyond the game and a half that they're at right now. This would be like, when the Bucks go up against, Detroit and
Detroit.
Yeah. Yeah. When they go up against the Lions, this is the Lions portion of the schedule. And I know that when we went through the schedule, when it came out and we were talking about it, having an 11-6 or a 12-5 season, which by the way, is still very strange for me to say. I want to say 11-5 or 12-4, but with the 17 game schedule, I'm all messed up.
Still seems low to me.
It does, man. I mean,
17-0, man.
Yeah, it's funny. All the all the national media talking about, you know, what will it take for the Bucks to go 17-0 in the regular season? I think I saw Pat McAfee.
I think you have to win every game.
Yeah. No, but
thank you.
Really?
If you're asking that question, what's it going to take for the Bucks to go undefeated? Well, I think you got to win every game there, Pat.
Yes, that is very true. But all the intangibles that go along with it. For those of you that are watching on YouTube, if you have any comments, we're going to talk about minicamp here for a large chunk of today's show. You can put them in the comments if you're watching on YouTube, or if you're watching on Periscope, or if you're watching on the PeterCast.com or the PeterCast.live. If you're listening to the podcast version, you can always send questions to us at the PeterCast on Twitter is the easiest way to do so. Mm-hmm. And if you have any questions, we can certainly hit those up here as well. But that's the best way to get questions across if you are listening to the podcast. For me, the most important thing about minicamp, and we'll get into the breakdowns of things here in a couple of minutes, but they were healthy. They came out of this 3-day session with really only one guy that got banged up, and that was defensive back Curtis Riley, who is fighting for a practice squad spot with a slight Achilles tear. Now
he might feel a little grateful that he got injured. Yeah. Because now he gets paid.
Exactly.
And he has to stay on the roster. Well, yeah, not on the roster, but he has to stay with the team. Can't let him go till he's fully healed.
Yeah, or they have to give him an injury settlement.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so there you go.
He's gonna get paid one way or the other. Because of the injuries. But I mean, I was looking around the league. I mean, the Chiefs lost Kyle Long, who was going to be their starting right guard, because remember they had all those changes on their offensive line after the Super Bowl. Kyle Long hurt his knee, and now there's talk that he might not be ready for the start of the regular season.
Yeah, 49ers lost two starters a couple days ago.
Yep.
It's better you than me, as Joker would say.
That's not Joker.
It wasn't Joker. Who's the guy that said that Full Metal Jacket? Yeah, Full Metal Jacket. The guy, the jerk of the squad.
Oh, the gunnery sergeant.
No. The this is sergeant? When they're actually in Vietnam, and there's a like, and it's and so they're actually.
Oh yeah, because it's Joker and Raptor Man, and who's the other?
The guy who's the big dude that was always such a jerk, and like they're going like the camera's like looking up. Like the dead guy's looking at him and they're panning around and it's like, gone too soon. Like, miss you, brother. And then they go to that guy and he goes, better you than me.
Exactly. Yeah. I forget which character that is in Full Metal Jacket, but I do remember the scene. But yes, it is better that it happened to them than it happened to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But they got through these 3 days of workouts on the field with the coaches in this mandatory mini camp, and everything clicked. Everything was all right. Now,
yeah,
I think that's the most important thing when it comes to OTAs, mandatory mini camps, everything that goes on up until the start of the official training camp here at the end of July.
Yep, injuries are it, man. So I mean, basically, this show we're going to talk about everything you sort of need to know if you've missed any news, and we're going to go kind of like through all the positions, and all the news flashes, including like how players looked at all OTAs, some position battles, and all that kind of stuff. And we will be doing that. Ooh, can I do it? Can I do it?
Yes, you can.
Okay, we will be doing that right after this break on the PeterCast.
Stay with us.
Oh, I will say, do I have to go into? Do I do the intro too?
That's the best part about doing these live, is that we can have a little fun with them here on the PeterCast. Ren, let's get into some of these, some of the questions, everything that you want to know about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers after mandatory minicamp, but were afraid to ask. And again, if you're watching us on YouTube, you can certainly put them in the comments. We've got the comments up here and we will answer whatever questions you might have, but maybe are afraid to ask about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers after mandatory minicamp. I'm going to start.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. I'll start offense, with. Yeah, well, I want to start. I want to start at the quarterback offense, position. Yeah,
defense, quarterback.
I want to start right at the quarterback position. I want to start right under center.
All right.
We've got four damn quarterbacks.
As we do every year.
As we do every year.
Except one's not Cepho Blue Cow. That's what we used to call. What was it? Cepho something. We called him Cepho Blue Cow. He was a kid from Colorado.
Yes, yes. And he always played in week 4 of the preseason.
And that's all he played. And like if you were at training camp when they would change drills, he would like move the dummies and like grab the balls. He was like, he was a glory. He was like a paid intern.
I remember that. I always think of Vincent Testaverde, who started for the Bucs in week 4. I think it was either 2018 or 2019. The final preseason game of the year.
Lure out of Canada we had in there.
Yep.
But these four guys, like, this is a battle.
Yeah, I mean, you've got...
There's no blue cow.
Yeah, there is no blue cow in this with the GOAT, as Kyle Driver has put, who played all of last season injured with the knee issue. And then you have the guy that they drafted in the second round, Kyle Trask.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Blaine Gabbert, who is back, and you have RG4 still with the team.
Okay.
Are we going to have four quarterbacks on this roster come the end of the preseason?
No, we are not going to have four quarterbacks on this roster.
You don't think that there is any possibility that we could try and sneak either because you're allowed to have veterans on the practice squad again this year.
Does that count as the roster?
Sure. I would say are these four quarterbacks going to be on the practice field?
Are they going to be on the Bucs
on the Monday leading up to that Thursday night game at home against the Dallas Cowboys?
Yes, they are. They are. And what's going to happen is, of course, it's going to be Brady and it's going to be Gabbert. At least Trask has a fighting chance for the second spot. He's not going to get it because BA just came out and said that Blaine Gabbert's the most underrated quarterback most underrated player in the history of the NFL.
That is your BFF, too.
He's not my BFF. I just, like, I don't believe in him that much. But I'm saying if Blaine Gabbert was the quarterback for this team for all 17 games, like, the Bucs win 10, 11 games and make the playoffs. Like, he does. I think that's what happens. If you don't, that's fine. No big deal. I get it. But, like, when Gabbert got here 2 years ago and BA came in and they hadn't even had a practice yet. And the media goes, so the battle for that number 2 spot, and BA just cut him off and go, no, it's Blaine Gabbert. There's no battle. Like RG4, Ryan Griffin. Nope. And BA's never seen him throw live, never seen him at practice, never met him. So just off tape. And of course the relationship he had with Gabbert is like Gabbert's 2, end of story. We don't hear that right now. Trask might take it. I mean, the door is open as more than it was 2 years ago for Ryan Griffin. He's not going to get it. You know, like I said, if you're saying that your backup quarterback's the most underrated player in NFL history, then the rookie, you know, second round pick, really quote unquote, you know, third round pick, isn't going to take the job. But you can't put him, you can't cut him, you can't put him through waivers because somebody will take him. So you got to keep him on the roster, and that leaves RG4 the last guy out. And with all the new practice squad rules, invested veterans, and bigger squads, I think that the Bucs try to do Ryan Griffin a solid because he's the longest tenured. If he stays this year, he'll be the longest tenured Buccaneer quarterback in history in franchise history.
He's the first Bucs quarterback ever to sign a second contract.
Yeah,
which is amazing. To me, I almost wonder,
snaps.
Yeah, I almost wonder could BA's talking up of Blaine Gabbert be in a desire to maybe enhance his value to other teams, say, if we get closer to the end of training camp and all of a sudden, because remember, we got to go from 90 to 85 to 80 to 53.
You're talking about trade bait.
Enhancing Blaine Gabbert's value in case someone loses a quarterback sometime during training camp, and then you can say deal Gabbert for a fifth or a sixth round pick or a seventh round pick. Like you can
rather have him for a seventh. Now if you could get a four, that's the talk. If you get a three, bye. If you can get a four, I like the way you're thinking. I think you're wrong, and the reason I think you're wrong is because the Bucks are all in, and if Brady goes down for two games, BA'd rather have, every Bucks fan in the whole entire world would rather have Blaine Gabbert start those two games
than Kyle Trask
or Griffin. You know, so because if Brady goes down, then they could pull Griffin up. Well, if they trade Gabbert, then you know Griffin's on the roster, so he wouldn't have to pull him up. So it could be they could like. Griffin knows the offense better and he's going to go for these two games. You're still the future Trask. It's just not your time yet. So yeah, no, I don't think it's galaxy brain on that. I just think that BA really likes Blaine Gabbert and he will not put up with anyone. Do not insult Albus Dumbledore in front of me is what BA is basically doing.
I like the idea, but for me, I always think that there's always got to be an ulterior motive on things when something is said, and especially something like BA as saying that Blaine Gabbert is the most underrated player in the history of the National Football League. You've got to think that there is an ulterior motive.
You got to be always looking for the reason why. That's you always got to be asking why? Why would he say that? Is he, you know, early stages of dementia? Does he really believe it or is he trying to, you know, get other teams excited about it in case they move on, in case Trask works out miraculously and they can move on and get a draft pick? But I don't think so. Maybe next year, you know, Trask gets a year under his belt into the system. Man. And maybe next year in the off season, possibly, but by then, like Gabbert's a free agent again. So
yeah. That which is why I think that you're saying this because A, you want Gabbert to have confidence, but B, if somebody loses their quarterback in game two of the preseason and they find themselves over a barrel, you want to be able to go to that general manager if you're Jason Light and go, you know, we've got the most underrated player in the history of the National Football League. So says Super Bowl winning coach Bruce Arians. And we know that you're in a bind because you may not.
He's yours for a two.
And he can be yours for a three.
Yeah.
And I mean.
I wouldn't hate it.
I just don't think
it's going to happen.
You are dealing from a position of strength. And I think the Bucks really do have at quarterback, even without, you know, thinking about Kyle Trask, between Brady, Gabbert, and Ryan Griffin can be a serviceable backup. We've seen him for four snaps, like you said, Ren.
Yeah, he was awesome.
You can deal from a position of strength to try and help the future if it comes to that. But you're not tied to that. This is not.
We all know we're not tied to it, Carney.
You're
grasping for straws. Yes, we're not tied to straw grasping.
No, but this isn't, you know, the Minnesota Vikings when Teddy Bridgewater tore up his knee having to go after Sam Bradford.
Well, it could be, but you're still not given a one. I mean, I think NFL teams are sort of getting hip to this. You know, we talked about the wide receiver that got traded for a one, and you looked it up and I said, no, there was somebody last year. And of course there was Diggs, who went for a one, went from Minnesota to Buffalo, went for a one, like a four, a five, and a six. And it was like, what?
and was an all pro.
Yeah. And now Julio gets traded for two, you know, and Hopkins got traded for two. Mm-hmm. So I think that, I mean, you really got to be all in. I don't think Minnesota was good enough as a team.
But they were over a barrel, though. When Bridgewater went down, they had nothing.
Yeah, well, that's when you just have to really understand where you're at. And, if you know, I don't think that anyone in that front office really thought right off the bat, maybe they got talked into it or talked themselves into it right off the bat, that, okay, Bridgewater's down. If we get Bradford, we got a real shot at this year.
But maybe you're talking up a Blaine Gabbert, because if in the event, and you know, this is all hypothetical.
I can't, you know, if talking about this,
of course we're going to talk about this, but
why is that going to happen? But I don't care how many times you rephrase it. It doesn't matter. It's not going to happen. What are we arguing? What, a one or a two or a three? What are we talking about?
We're talking about, you know, could you get a better draft pick for a Blaine Gabbert than some other team is going to give up for Andy Dalton? Like if a team got, was,
who would you rather have, barrel, Dalton or Gabbert?
I would rather have Gabbert.
Really?
Yeah.
You're coming over to my side.
Well, I'm looking at it as a lot more tread on the tires, has not been beat up nearly as much as Andy Dalton has over the course of his career.
Hasn't taken an NFL snap. Well, that's not true. He had some last year. Hasn't played a meaningful game in 3 years, 4 years.
Andy Dalton.
He was Dallas' starting quarterback last year.
Yes, and Dallas stunk.
Yeah, they did. Not because of Andy Dalton, though. He didn't help a lot, but...
But I just was thinking, you know, if it comes to a point where you can better yourself and hurt someone else, or, you know, and you know, keep someone else from getting the same or better benefit, you want to talk a guy up like that. All right, I'm done.
Sure. Thank you. I say no. Channel. All right, there we go.
I agree. And I agree.
23 minutes in, let's move on to position number two.
Hey, that's... It's what I do for a living. Come on. This is how you work segments in radio. By the way, shout out to Gamer Nerd, who says, hey. Yeah. So hey. All right, let's stay on the offensive side and move to the third down back. Because I think we all know
third down back or running back?
Third down running back. Like I'm talking about
I want to talk about the running back position.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, so let's talk about the running back position, because for me, you know, Rojo, Leonard Fournette, I mean, you're obvious. And the question becomes, you know, Gio, Keyshawn Vaughn, you know, what are you looking at? Is Keyshawn Vaughn's spot, and you know, what is it going to take for him to earn that spot, as BA said at the beginning of minicamp to the players?
Yeah, he talked about, BA talked about, like, Vaughn has been talked negatively, has been the player that you've heard negative things about the most, and maybe the only player you've heard negative things about. First was Vaughn went out and worked out with Brady, but didn't go to OTAs. And BA's like, you know, he needs to get his butt here. But just before that, he said that Tyler Johnson was no dummy for throwing with, but catching, you know, going and catch with Brady and not going to OTA. So, like, there's something they want from Vaughn. And then today, the last day of minicamp, they said, you know, he started saying that Vaughn's got to play better on special teams. Now, he backed that up by saying, I love him as a runner and a catcher and a pass catcher. But because of the people in front of him, he needs to play better on special teams. So, like, you haven't heard anything really positive come out of the coaching or BA's mouth about Vaughn this year. So Vaughn might be on the bubble, but then he's not, because Giovanni Bernard, Leonard Fournette, and Ronald Jones are not on a contract next year. Like, for 2022, the only running back that the Buccaneers have under contract is Keyshawn Vaughn. Like, he could very well be the workhorse starting number one back, including third down back next year. So I think it's very interesting to watch. what I find surprising was that sort of like Keyshawn Vaughn's MO coming out of college was that he already acted like a pro. Like he took like he his college career, he took his running back position as a job. You know, he was very professional like at it. And, you know, it just hasn't been panned out for him. You know, I think he's snake bitten a little bit. I think he's better than Buck fans have seen. Mm-hmm. I trust BA on this. You know, I trust his college tape. I trust where he was drafted. So that's the only real thing to talk about. As far as third down back, what you want to talk about, it's going to be Giovanni Bernard, like period, end of story. Mm-hmm. You know, I think day one of mini camp, within like two or three passes of each other, Fournette, Jones, and Vaughn all dropped one, and Gio didn't drop any all, you know, and Gio was there for OTAs, and he went out and threw, caught with Brady. So, I mean, it's going to be Gio in the third down back. You know, he's going to be a fan favorite, one of those guys that all he does is make plays, because he's going to pick up first down after first down after first down on third down. Brady trusts him, you know, and he's just, you know, he's not going to make any waves in the room. He's going to do what he does, gets what he gets, and that's it.
Yeah, I think the snake bit moniker for Vaughn, I think you're right on when it comes to that.
Yeah.
The play in Atlanta that was called a fumble and a recovery, I thought was such BS.
Is that the one where they twisted his head off?
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought you know, it was forward momentum had stopped.
Yeah.
That should have been down. That should have been down at that point. And
there was another one that I don't even think was a catch. They called a catch fumble.
Yeah.
You know, and then when you think he finally got over it a little bit after the Detroit game because he got in, then like the only time he gets in the playoff game against Washington, he fumbled. And it's like, you gotta be kidding me.
You son of a.
Yeah.
You like, got it.
You could see the light at the end of the tunnel, my friend. Like, quit dropping the goddamn ball.
Yeah. Unfortunately for poor Sneak, the light at the tunnel was a train coming the other way that was causing him to drop the football. But that was the big thing for me. You know, third down back in the right. You know, I guess the safety,
Gio, right?
Like, I think so.
It's
yeah.
Gonna be no matter what, like.
Unless something drastic happens.
Like they trade Blaine Gabbert for a two.
Yes, if they trade Blaine Gabbert for a two.
Change the whole entire roster.
Yes, because probably Gio ends up being... Wasn't it Gio that took snaps at quarterback when, like, for Cincinnati, like, they had...
I don't know.
I forget who it was. I'd have to go back and look. I want to say that Gio ended up taking snaps at quarterback because there was something that went on, like Andy Dalton got hurt, and then whoever his backup was got hurt as well, and ended up having to take snaps at quarterback, and they basically turned him into Tim Tebow running the football. That was my big question for running back. Tight end, for me, it's going to be, what is OJ Howard going to look like coming off of...
Can this guy stay healthy?
Yeah, I mean...
Jesus, man. He could be like a top five tight end. And in years past, it could have been like a top three, but there's some really good tight ends that have shown it. Like, you know, off the top of your head, you got Kelsey. God, who's the guy?
Zach Ertz.
No, not Ertz. No, Carney Boo.
No, I'm
Travis Kelsey, George Kittle, and Waller at Vegas. And OJ is just as talented. Like he is, but he just can't freaking stay healthy. I was telling everybody last year that, like, don't worry about Rob Gronkowski. Like OJ Howard's going to be the guy. OJ Howard's the one who's going to be the big tight end on this. He's going to be making all the plays, getting all the touchdowns. Gronk's just there, kind of like to learn and you know, just almost window dressing. And then of course OJ Howard started off great, was making tough catches. You know, none of the back behind the behind the back, sweet Georgia Brown stuff he was doing with Jameis.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he was like contested catches, pulling the ball away from defenders and getting down the seam, and Brady was finding him. They looked great in, you know, during training camp. And of course, then he blows Achilles like week 4, and it takes Gronk like another 3 or 4 weeks to get up to speed. And here comes Cam Brate, and Cam Brate does Cam Brate stuff. And all that's going to be the same. But I'm telling you, man. Oh, just stay. He's got to stay healthy, man. He's just got to stay healthy. He hasn't finished a season yet. He's been hurt every single year.
Yeah, and he's this I believe is his final year of his
contract. Yeah,
of his rookie contract. You know, if he wants an opportunity, he's got to stay healthy. Like you mentioned, you hate seeing stuff like an Achilles tear because it's a non-contact. You know, that's all. You know, you hate when guys end up getting hurt from these non-contact injuries.
It's always lower leg stuff with him, or leg stuff with him, and it's he doesn't know how to fall. And that's not even saying it right. He gets his legs
chopped out from underneath him.
No, like they grab him from behind, you know, and when they go down, they land on the back of his legs more than any other player I've ever seen. He doesn't know how to get his legs out of the way. That's what I mean. He doesn't know how to fall. And that's what has happened to his ankle a couple times. Now, Achilles, I really don't remember the injury. I kind of feel like it was just one of those things where it was like
you tried to cut and Achilles 99 times out of 100 is a non-contact injury. Yeah. So
you know, I guess my theory doesn't hold true there, but yeah, I mean,
but it is a lower body issue that he has had to deal with. He's had a number of them that he's had to deal with over the course of the last 4 years. And now he's going to be behind a Gronk who is now up to speed and Cam Brait, who took another pay cut to stay.
Yeah.
So, and I know that there are people that love Brait. Kyle Driver obviously loves Brait. He hopes that Brait retires here, seeing as he's a valuable player, especially because Howard doesn't stay healthy.
Brait's the best third tight end in the league.
And at this point, he's the best second tight end in the league because OJ can't stay healthy.
I'll put him in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd have to look around. I'd have to look around because he can't block worth a darn. But I'd have to look around. But I'd put him in top five. I'd feel comfortable putting him in the top five.
Yeah. I mean, he's a fantastic receiving tight end.
Yeah.
He's a great target.
Yeah. And he started to start getting some yak the past couple of years.
Which is amazing.
It is amazing.
Great. It's great to have.
They ran a tunnel screen to Brait in the Super Bowl. And he got a big game. Like really all those weapons and you're doing it to Brait. And it was real early too. I was like, oh wow, this could get ugly fast.
Yeah. And then the one final question that you may have from minicamp on the offensive side is on the line. I would think
Brait is. OJ Howard is practicing, by the way.
Yes.
He's back.
But the offensive line, on the offensive line, Alex Kappa, and what your depth is going to look like, especially on the interior.
Right. Yeah. Kappa's back. He's fine. He says he's felt fine for a while. He had a press conference, just kind of a schlub. You know, he like won't take any credit for anything. You know, like you were the only Buccaneer offensive lineman that didn't give up a sack. And okay, well, you know,
because also didn't play the final four games of the year.
Yeah, and it was like, it's Tom Brady. You know, he did it. It makes it easier though. You know, he's just like, okay, Cap, whatever. All right. But he's back. So, you know, if anyone thinks that Stinney's going to take his job, don't. The person he has to worry about, if he has to worry about anyone, is the Buccaneers third round pick, Robert Hainsey, who has been practicing almost exclusively at center through OTAs and the mini camp. You know, it was going to be interesting to see, because OTAs, they only had like 30 people out there. And they wanted to see what Hainsey could do, you know, along all the positions. And since, you know, they wanted to see where he's at center first. And I think it was almost necessity because of the amount of people that they had there. But you know, he's stuck mainly at center through this, you know, mini camp. So, but he can play guard and he can play tackle. Josh Wells has taken all the backup left tackle spots. So even though they call him Hainsey a five position player, he's really only a four. He, you know, you really don't want Hainsey playing left tackle, at least not yet. For your football team in a backup situation. So that's going to be sort of the thread to watch. Can Hainsey put, he's not going to push Marpet. He's not going to push Jensen.
No.
You know, he's not going to push Wirth. He's not going to push Donovan, Donnie, as they call him. So the only guy he could possibly take a position from is Kappa. I don't think he will right away. But I love his attitude, and I really hope that at least he grasps it soon enough where he can always get a helmet every Sunday and be the first person off the bench, except at left tackle.
Speaking of Josh Wells taking backup snaps at left tackle, what's your comfort level with him?
I haven't really seen him enough, you know? I mean, he has been with the Buccaneers organization, Jesus, for like, it feels like almost as long as Donovan Smith has.
I was going to say, I think he was drafted the same year as Damar Dotson.
Yeah, right? I mean, Wells has been, like, he's been with this team, for, you know, first couple years on practice squad, then he moved his way up to be able to be on the roster. Then finally he moved up to be able to get a helmet on Sundays, consistently. Mm-hmm. And now he's the backup left tackle. So I've seen a few of them. I think if I remember correctly, like 2 years ago, Donovan Smith went down in the Kansas City game. Mm-hmm. And he went in for like one play and he gave up a sack. And I was like, oh Jesus. Like, this was still full blown Donovan Smith stinks, you know, mode for most Bucks fans.
People were ready to ship Donovan Smith out on a rail.
Like replace him with who? Like anybody. Okay. How about this guy?
Yeah. Nope. Who's anybody? Where is he on the roster? What number does he wear?
Exactly. So, but then that same year is the only game Donovan Smith missed, and Wells actually played pretty well in that game. So, you know, what's my confidence level? It's a question mark.
It's an incomplete.
It's an incomplete. Yeah, there you go. Incomplete. Too many failure due to absences is what Wells gets. My official scouting report.
For me, if you're losing your left tackle, you're kind of behind the eight ball to begin with.
We'll try this one. I'm listening.
I think that you could. I think it almost doesn't matter, especially at this point. Until you get actual game reps with Josh Wells, I don't think that you can really come up with a true measure of where you think Josh Wells is compared to the rest of the players on the offensive line. I like the question from Steve Munoz. Also, shout out from California. Thank you, Steve. In your opinion, is this the best offensive line in Bucs history?
Also incomplete.
Yeah.
I haven't studied them enough. I've been a Bucs fan since day one, but I was eight. It's hard to say those early Buccaneers had the best offensive line. And even when they went to the NFC Championship game in 1979, like there was about like 400 300-pound guys that played offensive line in the NFL. Like total
period. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you know, your whole second string offensive line is 300 pounds. All the guys in your practice squad are 300. Like you cannot play offensive line in the NFL, being in 300 is a little light. Like, you know, like you got to be a real technician. If you're like play right around 300.
And you look at some of the big names that the Bucks had on the offensive line over the course of the history of the franchise, they all played on teams that stunk. Paul Gruber, Tony Mayberry,
Ian, my favorite Bucks.
All those guys played on teams that were bad. Yeah. So I think it's hard to justify that this is the best offensive line in Bucks history, but it's also hard to justify that it's not because of the level of success that this team had last year. And is expected to have this year. Now you went
for overall grades and accolades. I would probably say this year. I mean, Tristan Wirth got jobbed out of not making a Pro Bowl. Let's face it. Yep. Like, you know, he just totally got jobbed. PFF had him as the second best right tackle in the league. And he can't make a Pro Bowl, let alone an All Pro. We've been banging the drum for Allie, who might have had his worst year last year, but it wasn't bad. It was just bad for Allie. No, there's Jensen. People out there. Yeah, there's people out there that think Jensen's the best center in the NFL. You know, he's probably top five, definitely top 10 for sure. But yes. There's people out there that, and it's mostly run blocking with Jensen. It's not, you know, snaps, because he has problems snapping the ball for a center, mm-hmm. For a professional center. And then Donnie's Donnie. Like, I was thinking about this the other day, you know, like you draft a guy like Quentin Nelson. Oh, you just, and we've been saying this forever. Oh, you just put him at, you know, whatever position and call me in 10 years.
Yeah. Set it and forget it.
Yeah. Guess what? Donovan Smith is about to do that. Now, he hasn't been a Pro Bowler, hasn't been top 10 probably ever in his career. His arrow has been trending up since they got rid of George Warhop and brought in the BA coaching staff. But, you know, Donovan Smith is going to get drafted and he's going to spend 10 years at left tackle for the Buccaneers. So, like it's that is not bad. And you won a Super Bowl during that time. He had a lot of crappy teams and make the playoffs, but you did win a Super Bowl. And he was a starting tackle and has been. He's only missed one game. So,
yeah, you think about how many left tackles for the Bucs have won a Super Bowl?
Walker, who was, he was terrible.
Kenyatta Walker and Donovan Smith.
Yeah. And they're both not good. No, Donovan Smith is better than Keanu Walker. Walker,
holding number 76.
Yeah, just two a game, man. Just whatever. Like he's playing defensive back for the Saints. I dare you to throw. I'm going to hold every play, and you're only going to throw the flag twice a game. Like, I won't give up any sacks. Like, that was his philosophy. Like, you know. So, like, I'm just going to keep pass interference every time they run down the road. Like, you know, you're not going to throw a flag on me every time. So
you're going to know what my name is, because my back's going to be to the play the whole time. My name is Savvy Piscatelli. Goodness.
So gracious. There's your answer, Steve. We don't know.
Yeah.
I would lean towards yes.
The jury is out, but. Yeah, I would say
take weight and strength into order and sort of do a, you know, for that time period. Then I definitely don't know. but yeah. I mean, you know, if you go by accolades, like I said, I think I got tailed off there. But, you know, PFF grades, of course, didn't exist that long ago. And for offensive linemen, they're kind of dumb because they come out 10 minutes after the game's over. And it's like, how did you grade every single offensive lineman for both teams so far? The game ended like 5 minutes ago. Like, how do you have these grades out? But anyway, I'm going to go with yes.
I will also go yes, right. Mostly because those other great Buccaneer offensive linemen played on teams that sucked. That's for sure. In Bucks Time 12, asking for playoff Donnie all year. I think if we got playoff Donnie for 17 regular season games this year, you're gonna see another division championship, and you're gonna see probably a first round bye in the playoffs, because there's only one of them now.
That's right.
So
that would mean you go 17-0, and you know the best way to go undefeated.
Is to win every game. All right, yeah. on the defensive side, Ren. I think
we need
a
wide receiver.
Yeah, I don't have a whole. I mean, there's so maybe many weapons. Do you have a question?
I don't have a question, but I think there's something to talk about. Yeah,
I mean, there's so many weapons.
Yeah, and they're all at wide receiver.
Yes. Tom Brady's got his pick. He's got Evans. He's got Godwin. He's got tight ends galore. He's got Scotty Miller, who he loves. He's got Tyler Johnson. He's got Jalen Darlin. He was just compared to Antonio Brown this week. Mm-hmm. I mean, the question is,
this is what fans need to know.
Here's what fans need to know.
Sure.
There's going to be a lot of spreading around of the passing game this year.
There is.
Do not be surprised if Mike Evans' streak ends this year.
Oh, no. That won't happen.
Really?
Oh, they'll make sure he gets it. Yeah. Yeah. Like they have the past, like what Jameis did with that last game, made it by 13 yards. They just kept feeding him the ball. And I think they made a concerted effort last year as well.
And remember, he got hurt in the last game of the season, like right after he got it too. Like,
yeah. Yeah. The pass. I thought he was done. Like, I thought he was done for the year. That was so scary. So I think Mike Evans gets it. Don't be surprised. Well, unless it's injury, I think if he's healthy, all 17 games, he gets it. No problem. You know, of course there's Chris Godwin, Scotty Miller, we've talked about Antonio Brown there. A guy came up clutch in the playoffs. Tyler Johnson, he's mm-hmm. going to be struggling for playing time. It's going to be fun to watch how much he gets in there. And, you know, they start putting in some packages for him. And then Jalen Darling, the small, speedy guy who, you know, gets great separation on all his routes and switches from receiver to ball carrier and, you know, lightning fast and probably going to get the punt return job, possibly the kick return job. So he'll get a helmet on Sundays. They're going to put packages in for this guy because this guy's supposed to be faster than Scotty Miller. So that's what I kind of wanted to let people know where, you know, that would be looking for in training camp would be looking for how much time is Johnson getting with the ones mm-hmm. and, is Darling going to win the return job? And I'm really excited to see him, you know, and we saw him in OTAs, but he was going against a guy, you know, like Brooks and Hamilton, and he was just torching guys. So now the vets come in and he has a mild tweak of his hammy. So he misses Tuesday's practice. He misses Wednesday practice. And then he gets in today and the Bucks do what the Bucks do. If you've never been to a closed Buccaneers practice, and I mean by closed to the fans, been there as a media member because, well, you know, why are you listening to this podcast? You have your own podcast probably.
That's right.
The Buccaneers organization gives you a place to stand. A lot of times it's on the concrete, which is in between the main building and then the fields, and the other side of the field is the indoor facility and like a little lagoon, like a lake, like a base. It's a huge drainage pond is what it is.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to stand on the cement right outside the offices. Sometimes they'll put you like on the last field on the right or last field on the left, or sometimes they put you over by the pond. Today was by the pond, and the team does this on purpose. Is they do their offensive plays going the other way. So you're looking at the back of the quarterback and it's hard to see. And then they line the whole entire team up between you and the back of the offense. So mm-hmm. it's nearly impossible to see. So when the Bucks did that, that was a time where it was kind of like the Darling package. Where they started throwing to him. So no one could really report about how he looked or how he didn't look or if he really dropped something or didn't drop something. They were based on coaches' reactions and other players' reactions. So we kind of got cheated out of seeing Brady and Darlin, see if they would hook up. But so far, you know, that'll be something to look forward to in training camp. We'll look at Tyler Johnson, you know, when he's running with the ones and how much he can actually get on the field. And Darlin really needs to win that punt job so they can put in like some speed packages and things for him.
Yeah. And I think that's going to happen. So
yeah,
I do. So that will take care of itself. Now we can go to the defensive side.
Yes.
What people need to know about the defensive line, they're big. they keep getting bigger. You know, Vita Vea just, you know, I don't know how someone that big can get more athletic every year, but he does.
Yeah.
Like it's amazing to see.
I hope this is the year he realizes how strong he is.
Oh, I hope so.
Oh God. Yeah.
All I keep thinking of, do you remember the movie Necessary Roughness back in the day with Scott Bakula and the big Samoan
straight
guy?
Straight Arrow Gennaro.
Yeah, Ed Straight Arrow Gennaro and Manu Mata the Slender, the big offensive lineman.
Yeah, the center.
Yeah, I keep thinking of Vita Vea as Manu Mata the Slender. Yeah.
They
knocking guys knocking guys' face masks off with snot bubbles coming out. some of the greatest football moments, and so definitely some of the funnier moments. But yeah, I mean, for me, the thing about the defensive lineman that you need to know is that, this may be the most cohesive group, I think.
Yeah.
When it comes, I mean, JPP.
They added one person, if you're including outside linebacker, and yes, you should include outside linebackers.
Yeah. I'm talking about the guys that can put their hand on the ground. So the outside linebackers count as well. So you've got Vea, JPP, Ndamukong Suh, Shaq Barrett, who, by the way, has put as his goal to be the defensive player of the year this year.
Sure. Great, me too. My goal.
Great goal to have.
My goal as well.
And then Joe Tryon on the other as well.
Golston. You forgot Golston.
Will Golston as well. So that might be the most cohesive.
Then you got Anthony Nelson. You got Nacho back. McClendon, who everyone thought might retire.
Everybody thought was going to retire, including me.
When McClendon takes a snap next year in an NFL game, he will officially be the oldest defensive tackle to take a snap. Like, he'll be the oldest guy. And then when Sue takes his snap, he will officially be the second oldest guy playing defensive line in the league. So we have the two oldest defensive linemen. Sue's will probably comes first, but anyway, yeah, but like you said, it's, you know, they're all back. We haven't even talked about Khalil Davis, you know, mm-hmm. you know, like the, what was it, fifth round draft pick 2 years ago? Who at the time I'm like, why did the Bucks draft this guy? He's like he's a twitch speed, shoot the gap, you know, type of defensive tackle. And all these other guys are just, you know, super strong. Vea and Suh. Golson's a guy who holds up very well for his size, and he's also very tall, and he can, you know, set the interior edge. Golson is very underrated as a run stuffer because he doesn't get any sacks because he's terrible at pressure. So you don't really see him at all. He doesn't get a lot of accolades, but you know, he has been the starter at the tackle spot for the best rush defense in the NFL the past 2 years. And hasn't missed a game. It's been there, you know, just like everyone else has. So
27 and a half sacks over the last 2 years from Shaq Barrett. I'm going to give you a number.
Sure.
Over under sack wise for Shaq.
Sure.
11 and a half.
Over. And that's, I think that's easy over as long as Vea stays healthy.
Okay.
Yeah, like, I mean, you saw what happened. As soon as Vea came back, all of a sudden Shaq came alive again. It's like, oh, yeah. I mean, kudos to Nacho for holding it down. Like I said, number one run defense in the NFL. But, I mean, he's you know, you talk about these freak athletes, and every year it's like, oh, this freak athlete. But there's been like seven guys that have put up 225 at the combine over 50 times, and Vea was one of them. And he didn't even do the most reps his year. He came out because he went out with Quentin Nelson. Quentin Nelson put up like 57, and Vea put up like 52. And there's only been like five other guys in the history of combine that put over 50, and those two guys happen to come out the same year. Like, it's stupid strong. Like, you know, like, I think he could actually twist my head off my shoulders if he wanted to. I'm serious.
Oh my God. I'm just envisioning that. Like,
yeah.
Him twisting your head off like a pop top lid.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, it would. It wouldn't. And he wouldn't even like his face wouldn't even crinkle up. It would just be like, you know, like he's opening, like me, you know, twisting off a 2 liter bottle cap. It just like, yeah, you know, exactly. Just, boop, hey, take this guy's head off like this. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much. Hey, Vea. I can't see this guy's innards. Can you fix that for me? Sure. There you go. Thanks, man.
I love the defensive line unit and the outside linebacker unit. I really do. I think there should be no questions when it comes as long as everybody stays healthy. You know, they should be the number one defensive line unit again this year. It wouldn't surprise me at all. Mm-hmm.
They'll get a push from Washington. because they were very young and they got another year older. But yeah, I mean, again, if Sue stays healthy, if they all stay healthy, you know, Golston's the easiest, most easiest replace, but again, he's very underrated. So, but yeah, as long as everyone, you know, doesn't, you know, somebody doesn't go down for the year. If like one guy misses two games and then another guy misses a game here, like they'll still be in it. But yeah, so yeah, I'm with you. And then it's a big year for Khalil Davis to see if he's going to be able to fit in somewhere here on the interior. But you know, they brought McClendon back. So, you know, we'll see.
And now we get to the interior linebackers, the off-ball linebackers. Mm-hmm. And
didn't even talk about Joe Tryon, number one draft pick. Didn't bring him up.
He's a big guy.
Big guy.
He's a big guy.
Dropped big in coverage.
That's what we know. That's we haven't seen him. We haven't met him. So
he did practice though.
Yes. BA talked about Blaine Gabbert being the most underrated player in the history of the National Football League. I want to get to the person who is actually the most underrated player in the history of the National Football League, and that's Levante David. I just think it's hilarious that BA was like, yeah, we've got the most underrated player in the history of the league.
And everybody goes, Levante David? He's like, no. Yeah.
Exactly. No. Because it is Levante David. And I think I want to say that this is the year that Levante David finally gets his recognition.
Right.
But I don't think it's going to happen.
I think if the Bucs play better, and him especially, like he didn't play well in the primetime games where we were all just waiting for, okay, Nation, now watch this guy. And he didn't play well. Now the Super Bowl, he was almost single-handedly the reason why the Bucs or held the Bucs defense held them to the Chiefs so few points. Yes, the pressure was there because they didn't have their starting tackles, but the Bucs defense, what they did is they said, we're not going to let, you know, Cheetah, what the hell is his name? Tyreek Hill beat us, so we're going to double him. Like, we're not going to, you know, try to get Carlton Davis, try to cover the fastest guy in the league running backwards.
Which you remember earlier in the year, that's what they did. And yeah. Tyreek Hill had 7 catches for 202 yards and 2 touchdowns in the first quarter.
Yeah. Yeah. So they decided not to go that route in game 2.
Smart.
Wise decision. But the only other playmaker that, the other big playmaker that Kansas City had was Kelsey. And I thought they were going to double Kelsey, but they started out, they're like, Levante, he's your guy. You cover him. And if you look at Kelsey's numbers, you'd be like, oh, he had a good game, which he did. Kind of. I don't know. I've never looked at his numbers, but I'm thinking like 7 catches for maybe 112, maybe even 121 yards. But Levante David had 2 third down pass breakups on him. And mm-hmm. I don't think that Kelsey had any, like 1, maybe 2 first down catches. So everything was short of the sticks. And Levante David broke up passes going to Kelsey on third down to try to sustain the drive more than once.
Yep.
And he had a monster game and was a huge, huge, huge reason why that game went so easily for the Bucs. Because if he couldn't cover Kelsey, then they're going to have to double Kelsey, double Hill, and then you know
we'll have to Sammy see Watkins or Robinson's going to be open.
They would start running the ball.
Or you've got CEH at that point.
You know, like they came out at halftime and they ran the ball and they got nice yardage. They did. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know, penalty or something happened or an incomplete pass, and then they kicked the field goal. And as soon as they kicked that field goal coming out of halftime, I said, oh, this game's over. This is the first time you've moved the ball since the first quarter. Like you got a little urgency here. You know you're down like 25 points or whatever it was. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, so Levante David, just, you know, what more can you say about him? Devin White, you know, what more can you say about him? I've said it 100 times.
Yes, that you, we can talk until we're blue in the face that Levante David is the most underrated player in the National Football League, and that Devin White is on the cusp of being the best linebacker in the National Football League.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We can
definitely the fastest.
Yeah, we can say that until we're blue in the face. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if they'll give either of them that moniker this year. As much as you may clamor for it, as much as I might clamor for it, as much as Carmen and Casey might clamor for it.
I'm not going to clamor for it. I'm done clamoring. When my team, I think we talked about this. When my team's good, I don't care about these individual accolades. Mm-hmm. Like, get to the playoffs. Let's make a run. That's what I care about. When the team's bad and we get no respect, we only get like 5 to 7 wins a year. That's when I care about, hey, but we got some good guys here.
What's hilarious is that, you know, there's going to be more Bucks making the Pro Bowl this year. You're going to have more.
You know, JPP wasn't even ranked. PFF did their all the positions and ranked like the top 32 or top 25 or something in most positions, except for slot corner, they only did top 10. JPP wasn't on the list, our only Pro Bowler. But Marpet was on the list. Jensen was on the list at his position. Worst was on the list at his position. Donnie wasn't. Murphy Bunting was on the list. No, Murphy Bunting was not. Carlton Davis was on the list. Dean was on the list.
Antoine. Jordan Whitehead.
I think Jordan Whitehead made the list as the last guy. No, he didn't. But yeah, Antoine Winfield made it. OJ Howard made it and only played like 4 games. I think Ronald Jones made it. So like almost everybody on the team made like this top list, except for the one guy. Devin White made it. Lonte David made it. Devin White was 25. I couldn't believe it. 25. But anyway, but the only one guy who made the Pro Bowl didn't make the list as being the top 25 guy at a position.
You think that might motivate him this year? If there's anybody that doesn't need extra motivation,
it's Tom Brady. Usually,
well, yeah, on the defensive
Kobe
side.
Kobe Bryant. Larry Bird.
On the defensive side for the Buccaneers.
Devin White,
yeah. But JPP, Lante David. JPP is one of those guys.
Dominican Sue.
Yeah.
JPP
is a guy that does not need extra motivation, and Pro Football Focus may just give him that extra motivation that could lead him to something very, very interesting. All right, let's get to the defensive secondary.
Sure.
What to watch for?
Wait. Inside linebackers. Just to finish this off. Of course, there were the 2 draft picks, KJ Britt and Grant Stewart. Both of them should never see the field. As a defense, it's so funny how things have changed. Like, as a 4th round pick, KJ Britt as interior linebacker, and if we didn't have Devin White, like, we'd be talking about KJ Britt trying to take like Kevin Minter's spot,
and being of the possibility. Because remember when Quan Alexander was drafted as a fourth. And he ended up with a green dot on his helmet.
He ended up starting
at the very beginning of his career.
Yeah. Yeah. And they brought in some guy from Dallas as a free agent to actually take that spot. And it took like 3 days for Quan to take it away from him.
Bruce.
Almighty.
Man, Bruce. I keep wanting to say Bruce Irving. No, I keep wanting to say Bruce Irving for some reason, but I'm sure someone in the comments will remember. The guy from Dallas. They brought him in from Dallas to be the guy that was going to call plays on defense. And Quan was like, I ain't having that.
Yeah. So, Britt and Stewart, they've brought in, and we've talked about this, how, you know, basically the whole third day of the NFL draft was to bolster special teams. And they brought in some veterans to bolster it some more. So, Britt and Stewart and the other are going for that last linebacker spot. Joe Jones is one of those veterans I talked about who has basically cut his teeth and stayed in the NFL through special teams. So that's going to be the battle to watch for the off-ball linebacker position, is the 2 drafted rookies, Mr. Irrelevant, Mr. KJ Britt, who's like an alpha dog and was like the leader of the Auburn defense, even though he got hurt like week 2 or 3. Mm-hmm. He was still the guy that talked to the press. He was still the guy when the defense was being represented in the Zoom meetings. He was the guy that still did them, which is really weird, but, you know, kind of talks about his character there. And then Joe Jones, I think it's between those 3 guys going into training camp.
Yeah. And Stewart makes sense that, you know, He'll be a practice squad guy. He'll be swinging the towel like he's Cornbread Maxwell, back in the day in the NBA. He's going to be the cheerleader on the side.
I thought that was Dennis Johnson who was doing that.
It was Cornbread Maxwell and then ML Carr. Dennis Johnson was always on the court.
It's true. That's true.
Yeah, Cornbread Maxwell and ML Carr were the towel waivers for the Boston Celtics.
The guy's name wasn't Cornbread Maxwell.
It was Cedric.
Thank you.
But yeah. they called him Cornbread.
Right. Remember Dennis Oil Can Boyd?
Yes.
God, he was so good. He never got talking about a guy who got snubbed. Jesus. The guy would have like 12 wins at the All-Star break every year and he wouldn't make the team. And it's like, you're kidding me, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what happens when
you're a jerk. Was he a jerk? Well,
no, Dennis wasn't a jerk, but he got stuck behind two really, really good pitchers for many, many years. He had Roger Clemens and Bruce Hurst pitching in front of him. So he was always the and guy. You had Clemens, Hurst, and Boyd. So
Smoltz made it.
Yeah.
Avery made it.
Avery did not make it.
He didn't? Never made an All-Star game?
No, I don't think so. But all right. So now let's get to what to watch out of the defensive secondary.
Yes.
What are you thinking as being the
for cornerback? This is the only guy I got really written down here. And there's lots of cornerbacks the Bucks have picked up. But is there a draft pick? Another seventh rounder. Wilcox out of BYU. He's like 6'2", 210. He's got the size. He's got the speed. He ran like a 4.31, which I think is sort of one of those once in a lifetime times. Cause he says he's like, I was really surprised I ran that. But that's why he got drafted and he hasn't missed a tackle since 2017, special teams guy. But you know, the Bucks have brought in quite a few DBs. One's a hybrid safety linebacker, so I guess that really wouldn't be for the fourth position or maybe fifth cornerback, because they brought in Ross Cockrell, who they like a lot, mm-hmm. and had made some big plays over these past 2 years as the fourth cornerback. So that's going to be what to watch, see if Wilcox can excel enough on special teams to make this team. And then everybody else is just kind of like, they'll flash one day. If somebody's going to get a pick six, I'm like, oh, this guy got a pick six. Watch out for him. And then 2 days later, he'll be cut because, you know, he did absolutely nothing until like the ball was tipped and it landed in his hands and he ran it back that no one's chasing him. So,
yeah. And that would be in game three of the preseason.
Yes. Or at practice. It usually happens at practice. Ooh, big pick by, you know, the free agent cornerback out of, I don't know, Massachusetts, who cares?
So
about that Navy kid though, huh?
Yeah, it's funny. I got asked about that earlier this week, and the thing with Kinley is that he was an undrafted free agent. The Department of Defense and guys that get drafted are guys that play for service academies. The rule of thumb is if you get drafted, you can defer your obligation. They'll let you defer. If you don't get drafted, you can't. And there's no way to appeal that. It goes all the way up through the Secretary of the Navy.
That's good information there.
It really is.
Because I haven't heard any reason.
Yeah.
And he didn't either. It was just like, nah, it's like you can't do it and you can't appeal. And that was like all he heard. And he was like, why?
It's normal. That's normally the case.
Makes sense to me.
If you get drafted, you can defer. They'll allow you to defer. If you don't get drafted, the thought process is you're more than likely either A, not going to make the team, or B, you're going to be a practice squad guy, in which case you're going to make more money serving in the Navy or as a commissioned officer. Yeah. As a commissioned officer in the Navy than you would as a practice squad guy.
So honor your commitment, son.
So, and for Kinley, you know, this isn't the end of the world for him.
He's like president of his class and he gave the commencement speech. Like,
and by
he's
the time
a very impressive man.
And by the time his commitment to the Navy is over, he'll be 26.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's going to be an old man at that point. And I would think that if he really still feels like he can play and he wants to give it a shot, I don't know of a single team that if he said, you know, I worked out with the Bucks, you know, I want to give it another shot. I was, you know, I just spent the last 4 years serving the Navy. If he's still in shape, there's not a general manager out there that wouldn't say, sure, come on in, we'll give you a look.
He'll get looks galore.
But he'll have the exact galore. Same.
How much is a galore?
A lot.
Okay. More than a few.
Well, I mean, it's better than the naval term that I would have used, which is a cubic butt ton.
Yes. That's how much an aircraft carrier weighs, right?
Yes. which is about 3.75 metric ass loads.
Roughly.
3.75 million cubic metric ass loads is a cubic butt ton. But I think that he will have the same shot of making an NFL team if he stays in shape at 26 as he would this year, to be honest.
I disagree. But I don't think at 26 he has as good a shot as he does now. I mean, because he won't be practicing football for 4 years. I'm not saying he's not going to stay in shape. That's just my opinion. I think he has a better shot now. I'm not saying it's an astronomically better shot now than it will be in 4 years. I just disagree with that. But I completely agree with you that he will get as many looks as he kind of wants, mm-hmm. you know, because it'll always be a nice story for them just to bring him in as a tryout player.
Yeah,
you know, they'll get a little run in the paper and keep their name relevant and all that kind of stuff. So there's
your answer on Cameron Kinley, and I wish him the best. As a Navy guy, I'm always rooting for guys like him. You know, I was a huge fan of Keenan Reynolds back in the day, and Kinley is in that same category for me. Is just a guy that if he makes an NFL team, I'm gonna watch him play. I'm going to want to see where he is. I'm going to follow him. Who do you got at safety? What's that?
Who do you got at safety?
Who do I have at safety?
Yeah. Safety. I'm trying to get off the Navy talk about Cameron Kinley.
Oh, yes. I mean, for me, the what you want to know, but are afraid to ask at safety.
Sure.
Can Antoine Winfield avoid the sophomore slump,
the freshman 20,
yeah, the COVID 25. But it seems like it, you know, everybody has, you know, guys will have the sophomore slump, and I would like to see that Antoine Winfield doesn't take a step back.
I don't think he will. That's not kind of what I'm afraid of, to be honest. I can see it happening. I'm not going to rule it out and be like, oh, no way, but I think he's going to be fine. I think he has a great sort of support staff, even away from the Buccaneers. The thing I will be looking for is one of those veterans they brought in to bolster special teams. Raven Green played a lot of games for the Packers at safety, and another one of these guys who's cut his teeth on special teams. So He's so Raven. And, you know, he can also play linebacker. So he's kind of like a Mark Barron type. So, you know, probably better of a box safety, the more sideline to sideline guy. But the Bucs trying to be multiple, I don't think it really hurts his chances all that much. I think if he shows enough on special teams, he'll find a spot for him. And it's between him and Javon Hagan. I was really big, and he hasn't been back, so obviously it's not going to happen. I thought it was going to be Dakota Dixon's job to lose. Was an undrafted safety out of Wisconsin a couple years ago, and they redshirted him. Like, he stubbed his toe, and they're like, okay, son, you know, you're on the IR for the whole year. That toe looks bad. And then they put him on the practice squad. last year, and he disappeared somewhere in October, and they haven't heard from him since. So maybe he gave up football. Who knows? So Raven Green and Javon Hagan for that fourth safety spot is kind of what I'm looking for, or be looking at in training camp.
I'm interested with Raven Green. You mentioning the hybrid, the hybrid style, being able to play safety and then come down and walk down into the box and be that linebacker type. I wonder how that could affect how the secondary, you know, some of the looks that you have when you go to the nickel or the dime packages, when you're bringing in the extra defensive backs. If you bring in a guy like Raven Green, in those packages, you know, it makes the offense that you're going up against think twice about, you know, running the, you know, because six defensive backs, you know, you're going to want to, if you're an offense, you know, you're not going to be too worried.
The book says run the ball.
Well, the book says run the ball, but the book also says that you don't have to worry so much about pressure if you're a quarterback, because you're going back into cover six, or you're going back into cover into quarters with a cover two behind it. He's a guy that you could see him start out as back in the safety position. All of a sudden you get into your count, or you get into your checks, and all of a sudden there he is standing right in front of you and you're like,
he's standing there in the A gap. What doesn't work for him or help him is that Jordan Whitehead and Antoine Winfield can sort of play that position as well. Now, he's a little bigger than them and probably more of a proven tackler than them, but instead of playing the Joker, which what I would call them, like, Jordan Whitehead is awesome at setting the edge from a box safety position. Antoine Winfield showed that he is more than capable of being able to come down and stick his nose in between the tackles as a box safety position.
Yeah.
But what both those guys bring, especially Antoine Winfield, is when you bring him down, he can also cover a slot receiver, or he can cover most tight ends. With Raven Green, you call him a linebacker because he's not going, instead of a Joker guy, like a Joker back or a hybrid guy, his best trait for being in the box is his tackling. It's not going to be for his coverage. So that's going to hurt him in the multiple things, because you have already two starting safeties who do the same thing you do, but do it better overall. Everyone's very close in tackling. Raven may be the best one. When you go to pass coverage, by the time you get to Raven, the gap's huge. And it's like, so the total overall, what you can do in that box thing, Green comes in third. But again, he was brought here for special teams. Like, the Bucks, I'm telling you guys, like, they, half these guys here are for special teams only. They're all completely in. You know, the only thing that could derail this season about being all in is if Blaine Gabbert gets traded for two.
All right. Last thing on the kicking side. Mm-hmm. I guess
I don't have anything for kickers.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Ryan Succop is obviously destroyed.
They re-signed them all. They brought some guy in from Miami, and like, no one even knows his name or cares about him.
Nope. Nobody cares about him.
No one even knows how to say his name,
because Ryan Succop has obliterated the curse of Matt Bryant.
Yeah.
The curse of Matt Bryant is dead.
Yep.
And that's all. And that's all we care about. All right. When we come back, we will talk about who is the guy that needs to be most worried about his position as we head out of minicamp and towards training camp. And we'll talk about that here next on the PeterCast. All right. Last thing, Ren, we've got to mention, for you, I am curious now that we've had 3 days of minicamp and we are, you know, 5 weeks away from the start of training camp, roughly. Who for you do you think is on the hot seat for a spot here for week one? If you had to say, this guy needs to watch his back, because if he doesn't straighten up and fly right, he could find himself looking for employment elsewhere.
Right. Another way to put it, which I like the way you put it, but another way to put it, not on the negative side, which I have no problem being, is who needs to have a good training camp to make the team. I don't think Grant Stewart. I think Grant Stewart's one of those people. I think Britt's one of those people. Mm-hmm. I think Joe Johnson kind of has inside track. So I don't know if they can even do enough to really make the team. I think they need Joe Johnson to fall on his face. Tyler Johnson, Justin Watson. Tyler Johnson, of course, going to make the team. He's going to have a hard time getting on the field. Justin Watson, there's a candidate.
Yeah.
You know, you can go down the defensive line. And, you know, is this
your Pat? Khalil Davis.
Pat O'Connor. Is this your Pat O'Connor finally? Like, you know, kicks rocks this year. But of all these people coming in, I think the position that's been flooded with a lot of players, and a lot of players have been flooding that position for special teams. I think Wilcox, a 7th-round pick out of BYU, they love his size, they love his speed, they love his length. OTAs and minicamp, for some reason, like, they're just not throwing the ball his way. I don't know if they're trying to build his confidence or they're not trying not to destroy his confidence. I really don't know what's going on as far as him on special teams, but with the amount of cornerbacks and secondary players that you have to throw in there, because we just had a conversation about how these three guys can be multiple, and two of them can play slot corner, mm-hmm. who's really a safety. And we got a guy who can play slot corner, and we got a 4th cornerback, Ross Cockrell, who's really proven. So Wilcox is the guy, I think, that even if he does absolutely nothing wrong, they do everything they ask him to do, he could still be cut. He needs to have an outstanding camp and really show these guys like I'm going to blossom into somebody, or I'm going to be like a tier one special teams player for you this year. He's going to have to make them give him a helmet. Mm-hmm. Like he's really going to have to earn it. It's not one of these things where, well, he's the best of the crappiest, you know. It's not wringing your hands like at Hard Knocks. Like, are we keeping, you know, Riley Buller? Or are we going to keep like Cam Jordan or whoever? Who was that linebacker? You know, it was like these two guys, you know, it's like Riley Buller or Jack Citchie. Like, I don't know. What are we going to, you know, it's not that. It's, mm-hmm. you know, he's really going to have to shine. So I think Wilcox is a guy who's really got the most to prove, because we've heard absolutely nothing from him. And it's not his fault because they're not throwing at him. Like I said, that position's really flooded, and he's really going to have to stand out. And you know, it might just take like one of those big plays in one of those three preseason games, you know, for him to sort of solidify his spot.
Yeah. I mean, for me, you talked about Khalil Davis when we went through the defensive line.
Yeah.
And I think that's a guy that could find himself being on the outside looking in through no fault of his own.
Square peg, round hole, man.
Yeah. So that's probably my guy that, you know, could do everything right and still be, you know, on the outside looking in. And then you've got the guys, like you mentioned, Justin Watson, probably on the outside looking in no matter what. Keyshawn Vaughn. Yeah. Jadon
Mickens. Vaughn's an easy one because he's getting picked on.
Yeah, you know, exactly. You know, people, you know, his name is being mentioned in negative light over and over and over again.
That's usually not a good sign.
No, it's not. So, of course, he's another one that I think could end up being. I think Vaughn is probably the least likely of them.
Yeah. I think they like him too much, and they know that their running back room is going to look drastically different next year.
He's Sneak, for crying out loud.
Yeah, I can't get rid of anybody named Sneak.
I can't get rid of a guy named Sneak. Yeah, so for me, it's probably Khalil Davis.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah. Okay, I mean, he doesn't fit anything that they do on defense. He plays like an edge at DT, which is fine, but not in this defense. It's not.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still baffled why he's drafted. Unless they like sort of like his athleticism and they're like, we're going to change the way you play football, which I haven't seen. I haven't been around to see enough, you know, COVID last year. It was like, okay. So yeah, that'll be interesting. That'll be real. And it's a big, like I said, a big year, but you're actually more spot on, nail on the head there. It's a big, big training camp for Khalil Davis.
Yeah. So that's my guy. Next week, right now we are endeavoring to continue our look around the NFC South.
We are.
D. Orlando Ledbetter of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. We are looking to try and get him on for next week at some point. So keep your ears and eyes out on social media. We'll put some of that out. And I'm definitely, if you want to talk about the Atlanta Falcons, if you've got questions of how you think this could match up, you know, you want to get his thoughts on Julio Jones.
No, all questions will come from me and Steve. Do not write your stupid questions in. I will
not. You can write them in. Ren's not going to answer any of them. Ren's not going to ask any of them.
Neither is Orlando Ledbetter. Yeah. And if Steve asks a question that I see on Twitter, I swear to God,
he's going to boot me.
Yeah.
He's going to boot me. I'm going to officially be fired.
No, you won't be fired. You might be accidentally dropped out of the stream.
I'm fired.
No offense to anybody, but if you want to, you know, ask a question, like go find him on Twitter and ask it to him. Like, no, I'm not fielding questions from interviews. Not doing it. You know why? Because more of me is better.
Okay. Hey,
I was just going to run the credits. I'm kidding. The end.
I'm not going to disagree with you. I'm not. Yeah, that's funny. I'm not going to disagree with you at all. But we are endeavoring to get D. Orlando Ledbetter on. We'll ask him about Julio Jones.
Yes.
We will ask him about
a question. You can ask me, you know, I will rephrase. And if I think it's a great question, I will rephrase it in my words. So it sounds like it was my question. So there'll be no legal ramifications down the line.
There you go. The good ones borrow. The great ones, like Ren, they steal outright.
Flat out steal.
Exactly.
I'm a Patriot fan, true through and through.
Speaking of stealing things, let's get into the Ren addiction. We've been doing this for an hour and a half.
Yeah. So I want to go home.
Let's get the hell out of Dodge. Let's get to the Ren addiction. Where can they find you, Ren?
You sure you don't want to go over the Blaine Gabbert trade scenario?
I'm telling you, they're talking him up to deal him.
okay. So does Wander Franco, is he playing third or second? Because they ain't moving that kid there, bro. Walls. No, Walls. They ain't moving Walls from short.
Nah, he'll play third.
Okay. Best place to find me is at the PewterCast on Twitter, of course. And I'm always down to talk Buccaneers football. If you have any takes you want to talk to me about, or maybe a question for about the Atlanta Falcons, feel free to reach out on Twitter. Or if you think your take is too hot, slide in my DMs and I can talk Buccaneers football with you there as well, too.
And you can steal your questions to ask D. Orlando Ledbetter next week.
No. You know, I've heard Stroud use two of my questions that I've asked him on his mailbag show. Like, good. I've been like right next to him when I heard him say it two times.
Good. Yeah. The way it should be. The greats flat out steal. You can follow me on social media at Steve Carty. You've heard a lot of Rays questions as well. St. Pete 9.com is where you can get your Rays coverage, but also check out the PewterCast.com, PewterCast.info. Subscribe to the PewterCast wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, iHeartRadio. I know we're on there. Mm-hmm. Leave us a rating and review. Check out fansided.com because we are the official podcast of the Fansided Network. And until next time, trade Blaine.